The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. Welcome to The Piano Matters. I'm so glad that you are joining me. There's so much to hear in the piano literature, and the world abounds in terrific, really wonderful pianists. Thank goodness. What shall we hear? Well, Beethoven's never bad, some Bach always good, some Liszt, for me, always of interest, a polka by Martinu, once important 20th century Czech composer, and as usual, I give you some things obscure. And you'll hear the great pianist Ignaz Friedman's three etudes, not performed by him, he never recorded them, but by a real disciple of his, Gunnar Johansson, the wonderful Danish pianist. And there'll be more, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when that phrase was common? As Goethe said to us all, as soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live. That's good, isn't it? And so we're off. And I open with the presto movement of the third movement of Beethoven's sixth piano sonata, composed in 1797. That's the birth of Schubert, as you know, or you don't know. And it's a complete little compact sonata form, very monothematic. It starts, you'll think it's a fugue, and then it moves forward into so many ramifications of technique. Marked presto, it's very tricky to negotiate. And the pianist is Andrew Rangel. Thank you. Andrew Rangel was the Beethoven player, and it was the last movement of Opus 10, number 2, the sixth of the master's 32 piano sonatas. It's a good performance. Well, why isn't it great? Well, I don't know. That's a very elusive thing. What is the difference between a great performance and a good one? It's a tremendous amount and yet very hard to put into words. But for me, a great performance is a rarity. And I always hope for one, but it's few and far between that you really get a great performance. There's many levels after good. But my friends, on the Piano Matters, I hope I never give you a bad performance. And if you do, throw the tomato. The great Pascal said, "We are generally the better persuaded by the reasons we discover ourselves than by those given to us by others." And I think I agree with that, don't you? It's quite a statement. And it is only what you discover yourself, it seems, that always counts in the long run, that self-discovery. But it takes intuition, it takes solitude, and you have to truly understand yourself. We move down the aesthetic slope from early Beethoven and listen to three terrific little insignificant etudes by Ignaz Friedman, who wrote about 15. He's one of the greatest pianists that ever lived, born in the year of Bartok, 1882, and so many other people that were born that time, Stravinsky, Ernest Bloch. Ah, I mean, God, what a time it was. But in his day, a pianist almost invariably had the creative yen, and every pianist virtually at the turn of the century composed. In the case of Friedman, he left over 100 piano pieces, some of them very attractive. Nobody admired Ignaz Friedman's actual piano playing more than the late Gunnar Johansson from Denmark, and he decided to pay homage by recording, imagine, all of Friedman's 100 piano pieces. So on this show, three of Friedman's etudes. See if you like them. Thank you. three etudes by Ignaz Friedman, known, of course, as a pianist, and I've had him on the show many times, but not as a pianist tonight, but as a composer, and the playing, very fine, by Gunnar Johansson. And by the way, Johansson was the first actual artist in residence in any university in the United States, and he held that position for, my gosh, 40 years, University of Wisconsin. I interviewed him. There are 4 programs on YouTube if you want to hear me talking to him. What a gentleman, what enthusiasm, and what verve. That's the word for Gunnar Johansson. We cannot forget these people. These people made pianistic culture. And a society that does not understand the performance culture, I believe, is in trouble. I'm David Dubois, your host, programmer, and so forth on The Piano Matters. I'm here with my producer, Rachel Katz. And this is what Thoreau wrote. And what Thoreau writes is usually interesting, although to me, Emerson is even more interesting. But Thoreau says, not a true man of science who does not bring some sympathy to his studies, meaning he's not a true man of science. You have to have that sympathy. And expect to learn something by behavior as well as by application. It is childish to rest on the discovery of mere coincidences or of partial and extraneous laws. The study of geometry is a petty and idle exercise of the mind if it is applied to no larger system than the starry one. Mathematics should be mixed not only with physics, but with ethics. That is mixed mathematics. The fact which interests me most is the life of the naturalist itself. The purest science is still biographical. Well, I think we have lost that concept very much so, but it's interesting, isn't it? And here we go to the march to the scaffold. And I hope the human race is not doing that. Berlioz wrote his Symphonie Fantastique in 1829, and in 1830 it became one of the great events of the Romantic Age. Liszt was in the audience, and Berlioz stunned everyone with the instrumentation in the Symphonie Fantastique. Indeed, it is a textbook of how to compose for instruments. And the rest of the century, there's not a composer that really understood the orchestra that did not study deeply the Symphonie Fantastique by Berlioz. The march to the scaffold is in the Liszt arrangement, and Liszt took all 4 movements, a daunting experience for him. He called this a sacred text. And remember, Berlioz and Liszt, at that very performance, became great friends. They went home together, and in the Nerval translation, they read Faust together the first time. Liszt never again was without that book. There was never a room in any place that he lived that there was not a copy. He was very serious about 2 works, The Divine Comedy and Goethe's Faust. Let's listen to this piano transcription and hear how a pianist from France by the name of Pierre Riache. He's recorded the whole thing, and we're going to march to the scaffold with him. that was for your ears only. The March to the Scaffold by Berlioz in the Liszt arrangement. The artist is known more in Europe than America. I don't know that he's played here. His name, Pierre Reyache. Fourth movement of the Berlioz. Charles Valentin Alcan. Berlioz was born in 1803 and Alcan in 1813. They knew each other slightly. Berlioz was, of course, considered very eccentric and grandiloquent, and often Alcan himself was called the Berlioz of the piano. Did not write orchestral music, wrote in a visionary new sense of piano styling, although without the prevailing new romantic chromaticism. It's not the shock of his very conventionalized harmonies, but the manner in which he uses everything. That's a very important distinction. So harmonically, he's not more advanced than Mendelssohn in many ways, but he is extraordinary in the manner and the surprises that comes forth. And you're going to hear the third movement in a fantastic sonata called The Four Ages of Man. This is the quasi-Faust movement. It has a 11-voiced fugue. No one can ever figure it out, and I don't know how Raymond Lewenthal did, or if he faked it, or whatever he did. He was not that type, but he is giving us a performance for all time in the standards of Alcan playing. And here is Mr. Lewenthal. Thank you. That was a 1965 performance by Raymond Lewenthal. He wrote a biography even of Alcan, but nobody knows where it is. After he died, it seemed to disappear. I would love to read it. Anyway, it's a long way from San Antonio to Charles Valentin Alcan. It was the second movement, Quasi-Faust. And remember, Faust was very much in the air in Paris. As I just said, Berlioz and Liszt got together. Their friendship blossomed through a dual reading. We are all Faustians, like it or not. I'm your host, David Duval, and listening with you, well, I really listen very well at times. I turn the lights off. I make certain that my windows are soundproof, costing me a great deal of money. I don't want to hear a horn. I don't want to hear my cats running around or meowing. I just want to listen to the music as best I can. Why do I say best I can? Because we don't listen to music very well. Our brains chatter away with something else like, oh gee, my stomach hurts or my toe hurts. He is not the best statesman who is the greatest doer, but he who sets others doing with the greatest success. That's pretty good. And the author of his piece of wisdom is the great writer called Anonymous. Was she a woman? Was she a man? Koji Atwood, not A-T-W-O-O-D, but A-T-T-W-O-O-D. What a fellow. I think he's born in Kansas City and going to play the final and third movement of Schubert's luminous A minor sonata, Opus 143. And this is a live performance by Koji Atwood, and the very fact that he will let it be heard means that he sanctioned it. He knows it's good. Thank you. Schubert's Sonata in A Minor, the finale. Schubert wrote three of them. This is the Opus 143, the Deutsche number I can't remember. It's a gorgeous work, played so well by Koji Atwood. It has breezes in it. I think it's in sonata form, yes. And Koji's an American pianist from Kansas City, as I said. He was my teaching assistant at Juilliard for 2 years, and we had a fine time together, believe me. We listened to so many recordings, and thus he loved the piano. I hope he's listening right this minute to The Piano Matters. I also hope all of you are well and that you've had a good time, or at least something of a good time. It's quite a world, isn't it? I'm in a state of shock over its continued aberrations. 21st century? We should be all playing the piano 8 hours a day, getting tired and becoming non-warlike. Let's just keep listening to great music, because its healing power is more necessary than ever. And also, let's keep this station going and thriving, because it is a major outlet, not for classical music. I'm not interested in that ridiculous term, classical. Can you come up with a better one? You don't want to say serious? I'm sure Frank Sinatra thought he was serious. No, this is the art of music. It has no words. Words are a problem. For 2 minutes and 45 seconds, we shall listen to a polka. I don't think it's so danceable unless you know the polka's stylization very well, but it's number 3 for Martinu's 3 Czech dances. Certainly Martinu was the best known of Czech composers after 1930, meaning after the death of Leos Janáček. He was prolific, probably composed too much. That was doubtless his problem, very much facile. And he was gifted, though, especially in large forms. He wrote about 4 piano concertos. Piano music solo is not much played today, if at all. And the last important interpreter is the champion of Martinu, Rudolf Virkushny, a man that taught next to me at Juilliard and who was a most elegant and great proponent of Czech piano music. Well, we do not have Virkushny's performance of this polka, but we do have it by a man named Igor Ardasev. Thank you. Have you ever heard this little piece? I hope you liked it. And the player was Igor Artsev. Bill Gates said, "What I do best is share my enthusiasm." Well, that's nice. I too attempt to share my enthusiasm, but unlike Mr. Gates, my enthusiasms bring little money to me. Bach shared his enthusiasms, and he's sharing them for 350 years now, and very successfully as one of mankind's greatest preachers. And I doubt any of his descendants, and there must be plenty of them walking today, ever got a penny in royalties from his music. I'd like you to listen to the Russian pianist Vladimir Feltsman. We're going to listen to Bach, first movement, the minor keyboard concerto, the most difficult and the most performed of Bach's keyboard concertos. If you like the BWV numbers, it's 1054. And here is Mr. Feltsman conducting the orchestra of St. Luke's as he plays the piano as well. was a good performance. It does not have the extraordinary grand style and depth of sensitivity that Edwin Fischer's does. We can't always hear only one performance. How can we compare which is better? But this was a solid rendering of the Bach Concerto in D minor, its first movement, and he conducted the Orchestra of St. Luke's. That must be fun, playing the piano and conducting at the same time. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "Certainly, it is untrue that three is no company. There is splendid company in three. But if you reject the proverb altogether, if you say that two and three are the same sort of company, then you shall have no company either of two or three, and you shall be alone in a howling desert." This is David Duvall. Thank you for listening.
Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network. It is recorded at the Kaufman Music Center, home of Merkin Concert Hall, 129 West 67th Street in New York City. The producer, Rachel Katz. For a playlist, go to wwfm.org, click on Classical, and choose Search Playlists. The Piano Matters is made possible with the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.